Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program that lets me interview some really interesting folks, some people I consider to be the best, brightest, and probably the most creative people that I know, and some of them in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll focus mainly on some of the turning points in their lives, the people who influenced them the most, and the decisions they made that brought them success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on this discovery and natural process at www.logicalsoul.com. I also host a monthly meetup group here in the Atlanta area that you can check out on the same website. And I have a website called passiontocashvideo.com where you can see a free video on my number one tactic of how you can turn your passion into an abundance of cash or a steady income. Now, my guests were selected simply because I found their lives and story interesting. They may be rich, famous, talented, or simply great human beings. All of them, however, possess something I find rare in an individual, and that's a passion or determination for what they do. They've made some strong decisions early in their lives that led them to their current successes or achievements, and my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions, and this will allow you as my listeners to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your own motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen to what they have to say, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. Now, if you're listening on this after the show on a podcast, then after the music send off, then we normally have a few minutes to where we have what I call outtake moments where we talk to the guests and any callers that may remain. So if you're listening as a podcast, go ahead and hang, you know, beyond the music at the end of the show and hang out, and love to hear from you, or actually love to have you listen to it. Now, my guest on the show tonight is Cheryl Scales. I met Cheryl about a year or so ago in Savannah. Actually, she's in Atlanta, in the area of Atlanta area here, as am I. And we met down in Savannah at Love and Money Summit, and she's going to again be speaking at the Love and Money Summit in December. And I have her on the show tonight. She's a very interesting woman. She's a graduate of Princeton University with an advanced certification from Harvard. She's president of her own company, Magnificent Women Organization, which is an award-winning branding and business development agency. And her friends and personal clients include some of the most famous names in both business, politics, and showbiz. And she has a portfolio that covers nearly every facet of business: innovation, brand building, marketing, directing, and sales, customer service, logistics, you name it. She's done it. Cheryl's work is known throughout the U.S. and in more than 30 countries. She's also doing work locally here in DeKalb County. There's DeKalb Green Commission in Georgia. She also loves, from what I understand, shopping for shoes. So I'm going to let her tell the story here and bring her on. Cheryl, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Michael. Good evening, good evening, good evening. It's so great to be with you.
It's great to hear you, your voice again. It's been a while. We've hooked up, as I said, about a year or so ago in Savannah. We hit it off. I've met you at a couple of parties, I guess one party, and hopefully you can make our Christmas party. We're going to invite some people over here. So who knows? If things come and go. So you are going to San Francisco, right?
I am. I will be in San Francisco.
Excellent. So I'll see you there.
Wonderful.
That'll be great. So let me ask you a couple of questions here. I know that you say that, I guess, because you've done so much and you're so well-versed at a lot of different things, I guess I'm hard-pressed to figure out exactly what your focus is. Is it branding for companies? I know you go from product development, from idea to implementation. Is that a fair assessment of what you do?
Yeah, it's branding for companies and for individuals. We do both. And we really focus on helping both of those groups find their lane to accelerate their business or accelerate their goals by really understanding what their brand is all about, because it's a large part of what my professional pedigree has all been about with Procter & Gamble and Delta Airlines. So I bring that to small businesses and individuals in our business today.
Right. So it's so you say you work with individuals as well. Are these usually people who are, that are well more well known, or do you take like Joe Blow off the street? And you know, I guess if he pays you, you probably work with. What are your criteria, I guess, for working with people? And how did you get involved with doing that? Let me ask you that.
You know what? It really was a journey through my entire professional career. You hark back to my days at Procter & Gamble, and part of how you succeed in a corporate environment, be it P&G or any other, is you understand the lay of the land, you understand culture, et cetera, and those are kind of the table stakes to play in the game. But if you want to truly move to the next level, you also have to understand how to stand out. And one of the big elements of that standing out also has to be married with an individual's authenticity. And that's where the whole birth of personal branding happened for me. It was actually in that environment because the brands that an organization like a P&G is known for is all about meeting unique, unmet needs of consumers. But you had to think about yourself in that way as well and understand what was authentic about you. How did that authenticity come to the table when you're on part of project teams or when you're a leader or part of other, you know, various things in the community that were required of you as an officer in the company? So that was really the birth of being a personal brand for me, was how to marry what the norms of the organization were with the personal values that I held and how to make those two blend in a way that would be good for the organization and good for me.
Got it.
No different than what big brands do. So I just applied it to myself, and that was really the birth of it, and I brought that through my entire organizational career and into my company, because I found individuals searching for a strategy, a tool, if you will. And I believe that, Michael, branding is a strategy, almost a pathway that you can pursue to something that you talk about quite eloquently in the area of not self-sabotaging yourself. And if you're in tune with that part of the process, branding could be one of those strategies that people apply as they come through that outgrowth. It's one of the tools that's in their arsenal.
Right. Well, tell me a little bit about your background, Cheryl. You where did you grow up, and what influences were most important in your early life as a child and as you grew older, and what are some of the influences and decisions that you made coming along?
I am actually speaking to you today from my birthplace home in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
I grew up in a community called Orange Mound. Orange Mound was the first African-American neighborhood built in the 1890s in the U.S. Still a significant amount of history and heritage in the community, and an awful lot of pride that comes from being a part of that community. Just because it was and remains a community of hardworking, salt of the earth, incredibly passionate and committed and giving people. And those are lots of the characteristics that you see in me today that I think were birthed out of my neighborhood and were birthed out of my environment and my surroundings. So I believe that those elements are a big part of who I am, along with my family and my faith. As a matter of fact, I'm in Memphis today because my family suffered a really significant tragedy in their loss of their home last weekend through an electrical fire. So the home that I grew up in, the 42 years, is no longer, the physical structure is standing, but inside has been absolutely destroyed. So
wow.
I am here in Memphis spending time with my parents and my family and being present and available for them.
I'm sorry to hear about that, but I know that events like that, like you said, usually serve to bring us all together, and it's times like this where you really start to feel that heart connection with your family and with people closest to you. So I feel for you, and I wish your family the best and hope things work out.
Absolutely. They shall. We have no doubt that they will. We are right on our back ready and moving forward. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to hop on the line with you and your listeners today, because in the midst of all things that are going forward, certainly being present and available for my family as one of the things that you asked what makes me is a really big piece of who I am. But we also balance that if my family were in here right now with balancing to be able to go forward, too. So we like to be able to do both, and we believe in doing that. That is a part of our DNA.
Right. Gotcha. It's also a lot of music in Memphis. A lot of musical influence and, you know, that type of thing.
I grew up on Beale Street.
Yeah?
I did. My first 3 years, I was born and reared on Beale Street. My mother and my aunt actually owned a cafe and a hotel called Maddie's Cafe and the Jackson Hotel. And every day when I was a baby, they used to bring me into the cafe where they cooked lunch and all of those things on Beale Street. And literally, that's where I learned, A, my love of music, and B, that's where I learned to count money.
Uh-huh.
At a very, very early age, when customers would come in, I used to climb on a milk crate onto a chair, and I would, customers would be amazed if they told me to play F9, that I could actually read F9, so I got a lot of tips. Or I could read G12 or A,
that's
whatever.
Great.
So that was part of my love of music. As a matter of fact, I'll fast forward to a really quick story. Probably about 20 years fast forward from there, I was down on Front Street at a little club, and one of the greats of the blues era, Mama Soul, was playing in one of the clubs, and I was sitting in the front row, and she was playing songs, and she played a couple of tunes, and during the break, she sent for me to come on stage because she had been watching me lip sync the songs. And she said there was no way someone my age should know those songs. I wasn't supposed to know them. She wanted to know how I did, and I told her that story, that I really literally don't remember lullabies, but I can hum probably any blues tune on the planet.
That's a great skill. That's great. So I guess your family also served barbecue there, because I've heard about that famous Memphis barbecue as well.
Absolutely. My dad is a barbecue extraordinaire. I mean, there are certainly public places like Corky's and Rendezvous, but I must admit, I never see those. I'm always spoiled by the love and skill and talent of my dad with his amazing barbecue technique and also his barbecue sauce. I think when I was at Princeton, I really had not paid very much attention to the process of the cooking, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a co-op one year, my junior year while I was there, and I agreed to cook ribs for the co-op, correct? So
yeah.
I had paid no attention to how much time it took to heat the grill up, put the charcoal in, none of that, and agreed to cook ribs. I got to tell you what, I had no skill. My entire co-op fired me because I had to go order pizza. I had no clue what I was doing. You know, I had really only participated in the aftermath. So that bodes well for a little bit of preparation to the craft.
Yeah,
you got to give respect.
Some things we're just not meant to do in this world, Cheryl.
I would say that's one of mine. I give up on the kitchen and the grill. Now, I can handle you on the setting up of the table, the stemware, any of that. I got you covered. But the cooking? No.
So how did you get into Princeton? What was the process? I guess you went to high school in Memphis, or how did you get selected for Princeton? How did you get in? And tell me a little bit about the process. Who inspired you for that?
I attended one of the largest and most well-known high schools in Memphis called Merrill's High School. As a matter of fact, one of powerhouse basketball, football scholars program. I was a pretty popular young lady when I was there. I was a cheerleader and academic and fashionista then as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what happened during that process, I was selected and participated in a number of all-city events and committees. And during one of those, one of the jewelers, Jed Dreyfuss, suggested that I go to a prep school in Boston for a summer program right outside of Boston. And I went during my sophomore junior year and just fell in love with the level of the learning and the kids that I met from across the world, actually,
wow,
in the summer program. And when I came back, I expanded my universe of schools I applied to from not only the Tennessee powerhouses and the Alabama powerhouses that I had looked at, but I expanded it into some of the Ivy universities, and Princeton was one of my choices.
Wow. Who would you say would be probably the biggest influence on you and your career today, and as far as inspiring you at a young age to do the things you're doing now?
Oh, clearly my mother and my father.
Uh-huh.
My parents are extraordinarily humble, hardworking, amazingly confident people, but they also have a genuine respect for approaching each of their children, and I happen to be one of their unique children, one of four, who just love different things and got to participate in different things, things I wanted to do that were different or unique from my siblings. My parents did not shy away from those things because that hadn't been their experience. Rather, they pushed me forward to go and try those different opportunities. And I believe that that was and still remains a large part of my ability to have wings and to have a great sense of adventure and to have no fear about the unknown or different things that I want to pursue even to this day. As a matter of fact, I was in Washington, D.C. about 8 weeks ago at the national launch of the Boys and Girls Club, a new program on Great Futures with one of my lovely people in the world, Denzel Washington, and several of their folks there. And I was there. When I came away from the program, I saw this beautiful waterfall on the mall on my way to the airport. And I literally had the cab driver stop and let me off so that I could go back and sit by the waterfall and just take a moment. And I recorded a great video that I showed my parents actually right before the fire happened, a few days before, because it just is a testimony to how much of an influence great parents are on their children for a lifelong generation and what a great influence they can be for their own and for others. And so that's where my influence comes from. It really does.
Wow. You're quite an inspiration yourself, Cheryl. I appreciate the story.
Thank you.
I've known you have quite a few well-known clients, and I won't name any, and I know you don't want to, but the point is that you do hang around with some people that are quite influential and creative in their own right, inspirational,
yeah,
and just great people. And what would be the characteristic, because I know that a lot of people are just, you know, like they freeze in their shoes when they, like, I remember when I was a kid and I had a chance to go up and talk to this one singer. She was a folk singer and I was just a little kid and I was like just scared to death, like, you know, this is a famous person and who am I? And suddenly it just it's like and then she turned out to be a really nice person and signed my book and talked to me a while and did all this kind of stuff. And so I got over the fear of celebrity, but I noticed that a lot of people still have that, and a lot of times it stops them. Fame or money or success seems to stop people. What advice would you give to people that tend to freeze up in situations where opportunity presents itself, where they have an opportunity to maybe meet some great people in the world and maybe do some more things in their life?
My advice is truly consistent. That I share with individuals no matter who they are or what station in life they are from. And to the point you shared earlier in terms of my client roster, there are people you know and people that you don't, but the people who are my clients and people whom I influence are people who are truly looking for a level of forward progress. They are people who are truly willing to have skin in the game. And part of what I believe I bring to that conversation and that ability to coach them or to support them strategically in different things they want to do is a level of sharpness around exactly who they are, to the point that I shared earlier. I truly believe in authenticity, and I believe that it's one of the pieces that freezes or frees people to their destinations, to have no fear of being in a room with Denzel and saying, hey, love you, have always loved you, and, you know, stroke his soft, beautiful hands this year, and be all cool with that, to, you know, being in that moment where you meet someone like you just talked about a moment ago and said, you know, you thought they would be one way. You know, in my world, I expect that people who are in my presence and I in their presence as well will give them a mutual level of respect. And if they are anywhere in tune, they can sense that, and that creates almost an expectation of space where we can both enter and be in a moment together. Because some of my famous clients that you may know, even when you check on my website, Magnificent Women, when you see that, I happen to meet one of those clients in a very casual way. And it was only because of their level of regard for how I carry myself that they believe that I brought something to the table they had been seeking. So you have to have that razor sharpness about who you believe you are, what you believe the value of that who you are happens to be, and what are your negotiables and your non-negotiables around that. And having a sense of that in a tight enough package and a package you can activate almost at any moment. Because opportunities, Michael, present themselves every day, right? And your ability to be able to say, this one is for me, and this one is not, and baby, and sometimes the one that you may say no to, someone else looking at that may say, what? What is wrong with you? Have you lost it? That was a great opportunity. But because you were in tune with who you are, what the value of you happens to be, what your negotiables, non-negotiables are all about, then you're able to say, no, I understand that looks great, but that's not for me. Or, yes, you're exactly right, that looks great. Would you mind tweaking or seeing if they could consider this piece to it? If so, we can really move forward fast. See, that's what I'm talking about in terms of understanding your authenticity, understanding what a brand is about for yourself or what it's about for your company. Because you can fall for the oak silk if you don't know.
Yeah, so you're really talking about, as I said, the same thing I'm talking about, which is branding from the soul. You've got to come from that authenticity. You've got to come from who you are. And when you know who you are, then and only then can you really present or act on opportunities that come to you. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And the piece where you and I have, that is the space where you and I have a synergy. And the piece where I pick up and help people go farther is to know, how do you package it? How do you really understand what the negotiation strategies are about that? I, in my work with my clients, make no apology that if you decide to become a brand personally or if you're looking to take your company as a brand to another level, that you should not apologize for monetizing it or making or wanting to make money from it. Because you're following the same principles as big brands. Big brands that we buy every day are not in the business of being big brands just so we will like them. They are in the business of being brands so that they make money.
Right.
And so if you take that parallel and apply it to yourself personally, or if you take that same parallel and apply it to your business without the apology, it doesn't mean that you're an arrogant, you know, so-and-so, if you will, who has no sense of others, but it means exactly the opposite. It means that you are in tune with what is your value, what you offer, why it has a value, what that value should look like, and what your ROI should be. And so that's the place where what I do with Magnificent Women and my company, we take it to the next level, and we help people expand and find new wings.
That's very important, Cheryl, and I've known that to be true in my own life. It's been a struggle for me, quite frankly. I've had to sort of really go back and discover who I was, and you know, I'm in my mid-50s, so I'm like, you know, it never ceases. It's like there seems to be a never-ending process of rediscovering yourself, at least from my point of view, that I've had to really sort of hunker down and find out who I am before I can even start making a statement out there. And it's been a long road for me. I know that you've come across it quite early, in the sense that you had that family support and you had that early training, and that's very powerful to have. And I guess from that sense, you learn how to make decisions early in life that put you in a place where opportunities become assets instead of liabilities.
Absolutely. And you learn how to, and you learn very clearly, Michael, how to make powerful decisions for yourself personally that may or may not be in sync with what people believe should be about for you professionally. And certainly
right.
When many people are in a corporate environment, and now when I'm speaking and helping cultivate my entrepreneurial base of clients, it's the same principle. There's a level of risk and reward that comes with the power in that decision. But you've got to be prepared, and you've got to be willing to make it. And to something you just shared a moment ago, big brands do something. I mean, this is the power of what we talk about in our world. Big brands also renew themselves on a
right.
continual basis. Why do you believe brands are around for 100 years? Man, you're half century in. You got plenty of time.
Right.
You're right on track. You know what I'm saying? They
right.
renew themselves. They renew themselves every 2 or 3 years or on whatever the cycle happens to be. So when you feel like it's never ending, yes, it is, but it's never ending in the world in which I operate with my clients, because it's supposed to be. You have to stay in tune. You've got to tweak or refine, you know, how your particular brand is going to be reflected in the marketplace. So it's a constant sense of renewal. But if you do the work properly, the renewal should last a fair amount of time. You shouldn't be having to tweak your brand every day. You know what I'm saying? If you really do it right with the proper people who understand it, then you're really able to really activate it on a bigger level and to be able to live it with a great deal of fulfillment, which is one of the things that I love about what we do.
Right. So it's just a matter, like you said, of being consistent. Just to clarify, branding, by the way, if you're listening and don't know what we're talking about, just means basically having a consistent message, so the message doesn't get diluted or get lost in the flurry of things that come at you. So, Cheryl, listen, I really want to thank you for joining me today. We're about run out of time here, but if you want to hang on after the music, we can talk some more. Meanwhile, I just wanted to announce who I have next week on the show, as soon as I figure out how to find out where that is. Hold on 1 second here. At any rate, Cheryl, let me ask you one more thing, and then we'll have to sort of wrap it up until after the music. What's your next plan? I know we're going to see each other at Love and Money Summit, but what other plans do you have going on now, or what goals or aspirations are you looking at?
Well, I have finally, my organization is called the Magnificent Women Organization, and hopefully you'll link that to your site. But one
uh-huh.
of the new projects that we're about to launch as well is findingasponsor.com, because one of the things that I've really come across in my world over the last silver quarter century, if you will, is the fact that people are always looking for money and looking for how to put deals together, and I am a consummate deal maker.
Uh-huh.
And so about 2 months ago, I sat down in a session for about 2.5 hours and spilled everything for
wow.
folks to be able to get started in that journey. Because one of the things I'm going to truly tell you this evening and leave with you on the table, I believe that my blessings, my gifts, my talents, the things that I leave behind that are my legacy are not the things that I'll keep within. They are things that I am willing to share. And if I can truly help you springboard forward by sharing some of that information, great. And then if you need my help, then my coaching services are certainly available. But I want to start moving forward in my 5th year anniversary and my quarter century in the world of work, moving people. That's what we're doing.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. Next week I'm going to be talking about Mark Sackett, who's like a Renaissance man. He's also going to be at the Love and Money Summit. And I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Join us next week. Cheryl, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, thanks for hanging on there. I was fascinated by the talk. Unfortunately, our show only lasts a half an hour, so a lot of times these conversations sort of get caught in the middle. So I've learned to sort of ask you to hang on because I know that there's some people that maybe want to ask a question. We don't have anybody today, unfortunately, but anybody that listens to it by podcast will be able to hear this. So if you want to add your I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get your website in there and some more information about you. Give people your website and how to get in touch with you.
Hey, our main website is magnificentwomen.org, magnificentwomen, plural, .org. And the product that I talked about for finding sponsors is called findingasponsor.com. And, you know, you can find myself, any of our services, all those kinds of things available at Magnificent Women. And our clients are candidly, Michael, both men and women. As a matter of fact, I have a couple of guys who I've been working with strategically to put together the Magnificent Men program. And so at some point in 2011, we have that on the schedule. I think it's now slated for the second quarter for us to launch to formally launch the Magnificent Men part of what it is that we do, and along with some of my male clients who are going to be a part of that. So it's exciting.
I'm very interested in talking with you myself, actually, because I could use some help, and I figured, well, it'd be good to have a conversation with you at some point.
Absolutely.
So we'll sit down and discuss things. Thank you so much, Cheryl. How is Kevin doing?
Fantastic. He's standing. He can walk now, which is fantastic. It's awesome.
Okay. I'm sorry. What happened to him now?
We were in a car accident in May 24th.
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't aware of that. I'm sorry.
Yes. He broke both of his femurs.
Ooh.
He did, told him it would take him until November to walk, but he started walking 2 months ago. He's doing fantastic, though.
Oh, man, well, tell him, I give him my best wishes, and I didn't know about it, but thank goodness he's better, for goodness sake. So
yeah, we've got a challenge in here, but you know what? We have rods in our back, and as the saying goes, and we are standing strong, and we're standing in power and praise. And all things are going forward as they should. And by the way, I loved the first three chapters of your book. I read all of them about a week and a half ago, I think right before all the trauma with my parents happened, but loved it, absolutely loved it.
Wow.
And I think if people have not had an opportunity to download your three chapters, they definitely should do so.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl. I appreciate that. Did I give you a copy of my book?
You did not.
I'll have to give you a copy. I usually give my guests a copy, so I'll be more than happy to either give it to you in probably I'll see you in San Francisco, so I'll bring a copy and give it to you there.
Sign
that'll
it for
be
you wonderful.
And bring it back with you. Thank you again so much.
You're welcome. Give your other half my regards, and I will look forward. Is she going to be with you in San Francisco?
She will not. She was listening to the show tonight, by the way, so she didn't call in to ask a question, unfortunately, but definitely I will give her your love. She's hung up already, but... I've been trying to get her to go, but as I said, money's been tight and she's got a lot of things on the table right here. And so we went in September, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. We went out.
No.
Because
we
already had tickets to go. And so rather than cancel, we just went out there and stayed with Brenda and spent a little time with Darren and a few others and had a good time. It was a blast. So anyway, rather than, you know, both of us go back. I'm going to be the only one going back, but she sends her love and wishes to everybody. She made good friends with Brenda's landlady, so
that's a good thing.
we made a few friends out there, and it was quite exciting. I'll have to tell you about it. Yeah, I'll have to tell you about it soon.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. I'll see you in San Francisco.
I will, and best wishes to your family in Memphis, and I hope everything works out just wonderfully for them, and best wishes to all of you.
No, thank you, Michael. It was a pleasure to be a part of your show this evening. Good night.
Thank you for being here, Cheryl, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.